This is a blessed opportunity for me to be with you all this afternoon. And I thank the Lord for this time that I received from Him as well as from the assembly here. The itinerant ministry the Lord has given to us to do in India as well as other parts of the world is intended for assisting and helping the assembly work in India. So I travel different parts of India several times in the year and visit evangelists and help them to come together for conference. The team members who travels with me teach the word and help them to learn from the word of God. And as we are with them and live with them and work with them, we also come to the knowledge of the prayer needs of the ministry, and we pray and care for that ministry as Lord provides us the energy and the resource. Thus, the work in India is going. When I started this itinerant ministry in 1996, the assembly commended 1,500 evangelists to go different parts of India to work among the people. The Lord blessed the work there, and today we have more than 2,200 evangelists scattered in different parts of India. And some of the brothers have been asking me, what is the main language? But India is one country, but linguistically speaking, India is like Europe. Every state has a well-developed language. So each state have their own language. And then you go to the regions of each state have colloquial languages and tribal languages. However, God has blessed our people to go to these people and learn their language and minister in their language. And for example, in my own family, you can see that I have a limitation in language. At the very same time, my second son, who is here, Saju, has blessed with the language ability. He can translate myself into English or vice versa. But some, you know, that's a gift God has blessed us. So please remember the itinerant ministry to support the assembly planting in the land of India. And also, I like to bring to your kind attention some prayer request. Last 5 years, we have been staying in India and continuing this work for two reasons. One, more presence and the time in India is needed as well as useful. Second reason was my parents needed our help. So 2011, we returned to India and caring for our parents. My father is today 94. My mother is today 91. They have health limitations. At the very same time, they are still in the home. And we are able to provide the needs they have medically and physically. And taking them to the hospital and calling doctors and getting the prescription and giving the pills on time and providing the meals on time. And all those things God has blessed us. And as a result of that blessing, I stand here as a 4th generation family. My father, who is 94, And I have a grandson who is little over a year old. So we have four generations and with 14 grandchildren, and God blessing, God willing, there will be one more child will be coming soon for my third son. So please remember our return to parents ministry. And of course you know about Andrew. Please remember Andrew also. I know you are praying for him. And wherever Lord send me, I always make known that prayer request. And there are many people all over the world are praying for Andrew as well as my parents. And Molly is busy with my parents. That is the reason why she is not here with me this time. And along with that return to parents ministry, she also carry on the ministry among sisters, literature ministry, and she is very active in the assembly. And by the grace of the Lord, our house and the assembly is very close by place, only less than 10 minutes of walking time. We are able to reach the assembly hall. So she always take the effort and do well in terms of attending Sunday worship meeting, Sunday sisters meeting, and Wednesday prayer meeting, and Saturday Bible study, and also travel with the sisters whenever there is a sisters meeting in a place where she is able to go and come back in the same day. And so she is carrying a great lot of work in order to carry on the ministry in India as well as to provide the care for my father and my mother. So I thank you again, once again, for this blessed opportunity to be with you, and I thank you for your prayer and interest in the ministry in our country. And I like you because, as I said, I have a family of four generations. I like to share from the Word of God subjects in the realm of family. And we come across in the book of Ruth, we can see a family there, Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, Ruth, Orpha. In the assembly circles, the book of Ruth is more known for the redemption, the kinsman redeemer. I'm positively agree on that position and teaching and example and illustrations and the Christ being revealed there. However, also I believe this is a book written in a historical time. So the people who read that book when it was written, they understood certain principles that is needed to be looked and applied to their life. And when we read the first chapter, we come across the man Elimelech, who was living in the city of Bethlehem. In chapter 2, we come and see another person named Boaz. It's interesting to see those two different people. And chapter 2 verse 1 reads like this. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. This is the same time and same period Elimelech was alive in Bethlehem, but he decided to leave that city, sojourn in the land of Moab because of the famine in that land. But Boaz decided to stay in that place. What is the relevance of that? It is clear, as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, when you leave your land, you are also leaving God Jehovah. Does that mean God is limited to that geography? No. He is omnipresent. He is almighty. There is no question about that. He is same yesterday, today and forever. But for that people, God has given that land as a promise and continued to bless them as a nation in that geography. When the people who leave that geography, it is not going to be a blessing for them. In other words, you are in the country with God and you are away from the country without God. Is that a... How do we know that for sure? That in chapter 2, verse 13, sorry, verse 11 and verse 12, there is a statement Boaz making in relationship with Ruth. We read like this, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. In verse 12, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Holy Spirit is saying, you left Moab and came to Bethlehem, which means you came under the wing of the Lord God Almighty. So, it is clear, in that land, there is a presence of God, even though God is omniscient. And when Elimelech left that land because of famine, he perished in Moab. He was not able to survive more than 10 years. At the same time, that land of famine in which Boaz was living in chapter 2, we find him as a mighty man of wealth. So same circumstance, irrespective of the circumstance, Boaz was able to grow into a mighty man of wealth, while Elimelech left Bethlehem in order to provide for the family, in order to find job or food or whatever. But he did not find what he looked for, but he found death. In practically, he found poverty instead of prosperity. So this helps us to understand. See, when we move from place to place, what is our criteria? Do we look a place where we can find an assembly, people of God, where we can have fellowship, along with our education, along with our job? Or do we look only the opportunity of education and the opportunity of employment? Elimelech is a man who looked into the situation and he began to see the famine is creeping in and I'm going to perish without food, like the potato famine in the land of Ireland in the past century. So hundreds and thousands of people died in that famine because of the failure of the harvest. So Elimelech saw a similar situation. But he did not realize Almighty God is here and with us. If I leave this place, I am leaving God, I am leaving people of God, I am leaving high priest, I am leaving tabernacle, I am leaving the principles of God, and the presence of God is not with me. And he didn't realize that, or he did not take into consideration of that reality. So he took the decision intellectually. He took the decision with the reason. He took the decision wisely of this wisdom of this world. And everything looks good in the beginning. But as the time goes by, he was not able to continue to live. Not only he lost his life, and also he forfeited for his children to carry on a generation. But at the very same time, there they found spouses, and one of them, Ruth, was a woman who took care of God of her mother-in-law. And she says, your God is my God, and your people, my people, and your land is my land. Even though she was totally informed, very persuasively, a hopeless future in the land of Israel, you being a Moabite, and I have no children to give you, and I cannot give any child for you, and you have no hope in my country, so you should not come with me. And Orpha took that word, and the scripture says she returned to her parents and also returned to her God. And Ruth said, your God is my God. As a result of that commitment, she came to a land not expecting any progress or any prosperity, any future, but only looking to God Almighty. And that is why Holy Spirit recorded in chapter 2 that coming to people of God is actually coming to God himself. Leaving people of God is actually leaving God. Even though you say, you know, I go to this town and I study there because that school is the best school for my son or for myself. And even though there's no assembly there, I can go to a Bible church there. You know, all those things sounds good. But the problem is that as soon as you step out of the assembly, you are forfeiting the New Testament pattern of the worship of the Lord. And be teaching the word also you are missing there. And slowly the poverty creeps into your life and you lose interest. You may do well with education, but see, that is how far is that is going to bless you. Maybe 70 years or 80 years. In my father's case, 94 years. My grandmother, my aunts all died before hitting the century. 90, 92, 94, like that. After that, there is still a life. And that life is an unchanging life. Whatever we make while during our time here on the planet Earth is going to be with us without any change, without any difference. The values will not change. At the very same time, it will not increase. So what we make today is going to be with us in the eternity. And therefore, we have to give value to the word of God. And Ruth was able to do that. So when Naomi was away from Bethlehem, she was talking about God, says that, Lord's hand has gone out against me. That's what she was saying. In chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 20, she says, the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And finally, she says that the Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. All these are the conclusions she has come because she has been away from the Lord, away from the tabernacle, away from the Levitical system, away from the covenant of God, and away from the people of God. Now, later, she says that, God has been merciful in chapter 2. Verse 20 and chapter 2. We read that, the Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. See, when she came back and began to stay in Bethlehem and began to experience life with the people of God, even though she was poor, only she had food, what was gleaned from the field daily. If on a given day there was no harvest, no gleaning, then naturally the food will be less or nil. Even at that time, she was able to see God in a different perspective. In Moab, she saw God and experienced God in pain, in agony, in affliction and bitterness. But in the land of Bethlehem, the same God to the same person, she is saying, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. So her understanding, her experiential reality of relationship God is changed when she came back. So it is imperative for you and me to return to God. What does that mean? Return to the people of God. We have to have a fellowship with the saints. And if we have to ask ourselves, where is our children today? Are they able to have a blessing what the assembly can provide? I'm not claiming assembly is perfect. At the very same time, assembly hold certain principles that is revealed in the word of God. As we see in the book of Acts, as we see in the epistle. And is our children enjoying that? Is our grandchildren, do they have the benefit of that? If not, we have to pray, we have to work, we have to insist them to return to the Lord. And then they began to see the kindness of God. They began to enrich from that. And Ruth, being a Gentile, who could not have any acceptance among the people, was well received, not because of her education, not because of her any special knowledge. It's only because she has been kind to her mother-in-law. And she has been kind to her deceased husband and the family members. And that kindness has brought her toward the land. And not only toward the land, also toward the God, Lord Almighty. As a result of that, a hopeless person became a great person in the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something no one can expect to happen. Something never can happen in the thinking of the human wisdom. But it is possible because God is merciful. As she said, kind God, not a bitter God. And also Ruth had a heart to be a help to her mother-in-law. You know, Ruth did not, when Ruth was willing to come with her mother-in-law was seeking best for Ruth and making all possible commendation, saying that, please stay in your land. Please do not come to my country. You have no hope or no future there. And Ruth was saying, I cannot do that. I will not do that. I come with you because God is there. And I want that God. And I want your people. And there is no way I am going to separate from you, even if no future or no prosperity for personally, only death will separate me from you. So that is a determination. Not only that, when she came, she was willing to work. And she could have given genuine reasons why she needed the help of her mother-in-law to do the work. Because language is a problem. Culture is a problem. Unfamiliarity of the situation is a problem. Unfamiliarity of the field is a problem. There are many hindrances for her to go and glean in the field. But she is not seeing any of those hindrances. Only she is seeing opportunity. She is saying, I will go to a field where I see kindness. Is there any board that says that? This field with kindness? There is no such board. There is no such sign or anything. You know, there is a sign of cross with white in the round. What does that mean? There is a hospital nearby, isn't it? But there is no such sign of kind field. But she is saying, I am going to find a field like that. And she found. In that field, she not only found food, she found life and family and generation and eternal generation. Why? Because she looked to the God Almighty and was kind to her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law is kind to the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law is kind to the mother-in-law. Both people always seeking best for the other. When Ruth and Orpah was willing to come with Naomi, Naomi didn't say, you know, I have shoulder ache, I have knee pain, I have backache. If these ladies come, you know, they put some massage on me with a hot bath. So, let them come. No. She said, no, you don't come with me. I cannot help you anyway. There's no help from me and no help from my people. So you go to your father, go to your mother. And Ruth said no. And Ruth came and Ruth helped the mother-in-law. And Ruth was a willing person to work hard. As a result of that, God has blessed her with one ephah of barley. In one day, she gathered one ephah of the barley. But you know, Boaz gave generously. How much he gave? 6 measures of barley. A generosity of man cannot come to the level of the blessing of the Lord. When the Lord blessed her for her work, God has given her one ephah. But a generous, kind-hearted, godly, wealthy, mighty man was able to give her only 6 measures. He is not responsible to give any one measure, but with generosity and kindness he did that. But that cannot stretch up to the level of the Lord. So that is where she found. And you know, one more verse I like to read in chapter 4 about Ruth. Verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. So this woman, the Moabite woman, who came with Naomi, is far better than 4 boys is Naomi had. So not one son, not two, seven boys. All the seven boys together, whatever can do to her mother, his mother, their mother, is done better by this one woman. And this is the testimony of the people who lives around them. It is not a testimony of mother-in-law. You know, this daughter-in-law is very kind to me, so let me say good about her. No, no, it's not like that. It is told by the people who have seen Ruth be helping to her mother-in-law. Oh, look, that is the kind of the person. And she received all this blessing, where? Not in Moab, but in Bethlehem. So we have a responsibility ourselves. We have a responsibility to our children. We also have a responsibility to our grandchildren. Because the scripture says that you have to teach these things to your children and their children. And that has been revealed in the life of Abraham. Abraham being lived with his Isaac and Jacob in tabernacles. Lois and Eunice taught Timothy. So fathers and grandfathers, mothers and grandmothers have responsibility to raise a generation for God who will see God is the only and one, nothing more. And Ruth saw God in the land of Israel, in the land of Bethlehem. And she knew, I have to go with this mother-in-law so that I will have a share with her. Therefore she said, your God is my God. And therefore she has no hesitation to forsake her land, forsake her people, forsake her gods, forsake everything she had. All the prosperity and the wealth attracted Orpha, did not attract Ruth, because she was attracted by God Almighty. And we have a responsibility to bring our children to the knowledge of the living God. We cannot make them Christians, I understand that. But we can train them in the word of God. So when they come to know the Lord, they know where they should stand. So they will not forsake God and God's people and God's word and God's teaching. May the Lord bless so that we can carry on to our generation the great ministry of the living God Almighty. And thank you for your prayers, and Saji will close the meeting with prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this afternoon where we could be under the sound of your word again. We thank you for your mercies towards us. We were reminded this morning of how you are gracious, long-suffering, and loving, and merciful. And Father, we just pray that we would see you for who you are, that we would recognize the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, and that you would enable us to not leave the living God for broken cisterns. We've seen in your word time and again how sometimes that seems attractive, and yet at the end it is dissatisfying. We confess that we are tempted to do so when we look with our senses. We pray that you would help us by your grace to recognize your power and your providence and your sovereignty, and how you are ruler over all, and that you would help us to continue to want to seek your face diligently. We just thank you for the reminder that we had from your word, and we pray that this would be true in our lives, and as we were reminded, even in the lives of our generations to come, that we would seek after you with all our hearts. Just pray that you would now take us to our homes in safety. We would also commit the breaking of bread meeting this afternoon at Rest Haven and ask your blessing on the dear saints who gather there as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.